Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Our last interview of today, it is going back to an interview we had earlier this morning with the Chief of Communication Services for the Department of Safety and Emergency Services in the Free State, and that was about the dam burst. We now chat to Professor Anthony Turton, Professor at the Center for Environmental Management at the University of the Free State, regarding this disaster involving the burst dam wall. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning to you, listeners.
Professor, if we had to generally speak about our dams in South Africa, what are the state of those dams?
Okay, well, I think the first thing we need to do is make a very clear distinction between a dam in a river, a dam that holds water, you know, the kind of things, Vaal Dam and Kotsi Dam, that kind of thing, and a mine tailings dam. They're two fundamentally different things. And what we've seen in the Free State is a collapse of a tailings dam. So it's not the same as a dam that holds that conventional water. And I can gladly explain to the listener what a tailings dam is, but I don't think we should start confusing people over the fact that these are the same thing. They're not.
So now that you've brought that very important distinction up, we had a disaster some years back with Merriespruit, which was also a tailings dam.
Yes, so now we get into a completely different conversation and a very important conversation. So thanks for the opportunity. What we need to understand is that in the mining process, there are typically two streams of waste that come out of any mining operation. The one is known as mampara, believe it or not, and that is all of your waste rock, the rock that doesn't bear the mineral that you're mining, and that goes to a waste dump and gets processed to become aggregate to make roads and to make concrete, etc. But then the second stream of waste, which is a very large stream of waste, is finely ground tailings. And that's basically the rock from which the mineral has been removed. And that tailings stream, firstly, it's a very, very big volume. And secondly, it is basically fine suspended particles, rounded particles that have been crushed in a ball mill from which the mineral has been extracted, but it's been transported to its final resting place in water. So the tailings dam, we need to understand, is in fact a dam that consists of two component parts. The one is the fine ground up powder called tailings that settles to the bottom of the dam. And then the second component is the water that's used to transport it there. Now, once we understand that, we start going into some interesting engineering problems that are experienced. Because the first problem is that the material from which the dam is made is in fact the dried up tailings itself. Now, the dried-up tailings are inherently structurally weak. They don't use tailings for any structural purposes for that reason, because the shape of the particles is such that they don't bind very well together. So the outer wall of the dam consists of dried-up tailings, and those have to be engineered in perpetuity, because even when the mine no longer operates, they've still got the capacity behind the raised lip of the dam to capture water from a rainfall event, etc. So the problem now is that in South Africa, we have many, many hundreds, if not thousands, of what are known as tailings disposal facilities, TDFs, dotted all over the landscape in South Africa. And in many cases, those mines have reached the end of their life. So now we start going into a different kind of territory, because we've got this inherent instability on the landscape that requires maintenance in perpetuity, and who is there to A, do the work, and B, who's going to fund that, and C, who's liable when there's a failure. So these are very perplexing, legal, complicated, very emotive issues, but this is what we're dealing with.
So if I recall correctly, before they had the specific term granted, they were generally known to the public as slimes dams.
Yes. Slimes is another term. It's a layman's term for tailings. Tailings is the technical term for slimes, but the same material, yes.
And I think that's what's so critical, is the general term actually describes what is in there. It's these materials that can create this to move, and this is a grave concern, because who's responsible for those slimes dams or those tailings dams once that mining house has closed shop and moved on, especially when one sees what's happening at abandoned mining sites at the moment, including that of Zamazamas. This is a danger that is being posed to different communities. And whose responsibility is the maintenance or the upkeep or to ensure the integrity of these tailings dams?
Okay, now we get into an area of great contestation. There's a huge amount of political contestation over what I'm going to say now. So I'm going to give you the factual position, and I'm sure some activists will phone in and give you a different opinion. So the factual situation is that in the 1970s, when South Africa was internationally isolated as a pariah state, an agreement was reached between the government of the day and the mining industry to maximize profits from mining in order to fund the apartheid regime. And that became known as the Fani-Bwota Accord. And that is a matter of factual legal fact. So the Fani-Bwota Accord effectively nationalized the tailings liability. The state accepted responsibility for the tailings liability, for the purpose of which was to take that liability off the balance sheet in order to maximize the profits that could then be taxed to fund the state. Now, this is a very contentious issue, very emotive issue, and many, many people are going to get very angry about this situation. But this is the factual situation at the moment. And there were many, many clauses stipulated in the Fani-Bwota Accord. And the one clause was that if the tailings facility was left as it was at that moment in time, then the state would assume liability for it in perpetuity. So now we start opening up a whole bunch of questions. And the one question now is, does the state have the capacity today to actually manage those things? That's an open-ended question, and we can debate that at great length. And the other thing is now, was that fair? And you know, is there retrospective justice and all that kind of thing? That becomes a very, very vigorous conversation, promoted by very, very angry people. But this is the fact of the matter. So we're in a situation today where the last study that I was aware of, we had about 1.2 million people just in the Gauteng area, living in very close proximity to tailings, to TDF, tailings disposal facilities, and there was no formal plan for how to mitigate the risk for those people, because you must remember that while tailings pose a structural risk, as we've now seen in the Free State, and you mentioned the Merivale disaster, and there have been many other tailings collapses. There was one recently, I think, in the United States of America, if I'm not mistaken, just in the very recent past. So these things are, you know, all risky things, and they need to be managed in perpetuity. So this is where we are today. You know, we have this situation where we have got a huge number of people that are at risk. But you must also remember that in the same tailings facility, it's not only the structural risk, but it's also the risk of other metals that are in the tailings that were not removed during the milling process. In the case of gold in South Africa, that's uranium. We have about 600,000 tons of uranium tied up in the various tailings disposal facilities in the Witwatersrand complex. And that uranium is still present today. And that uranium is blowing around in the wind and is being mobilized by water, etc. So this is an ongoing and persistent risk. I wrote a chapter in a textbook published by Wits University Press a couple of years ago on this topic. So I predicted then that this was going to become a very significant topic in the next decade or two, you know, as government grapples with the reality of the fact that they have to deal with this.
Professor, thank you for that. You gave us a lot of insight into the problems with the tailings dams and the distinction that needs to be made when we have disasters like what was experienced in the Free State over this past weekend. I'm going to be chatting to our producer, Senna. I'd like to continue this conversation tomorrow, perhaps, specifically with regards to our freshwater dams, where we expect our drinking water to be coming from, and the standards of those dams as well. So thank you so much for joining us this morning and bringing us up to speed with the disaster in the Free State and what constitutes a tailings or slimes dam. That was Professor Anthony Turton, Professor at the Center for Environmental Management at the University of the Free State.